For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this Lenten season, we have the great call to sanctification. We hear that in the words of St. Paul, the apostle, who's writing to the church in Thessalonica. In the Roman era, in a culture that was given over to the lust of the flesh, and where these were actually exalted in the common culture. So Christians, from the very beginning, have had a very different take on the idea of purity in regards to human sexuality. And so you can hear the apostle saying, look, don't forget what commandments that I gave you. And this is God's will, that you would be sanctified. And that means that every person should know how to possess their vessel, their body, in sanctification and honor. And so we hear these words today in a culture that is given over to the lusts of the flesh and that exalts, you know, all manner of uncleanness or impurity, we might say. And now it's our challenge in our time and place for how we navigate these things. Perhaps we might start with the words of our Lord to get right to the root of the matter and see what he says about the matter of lust, one of the seven deadly sins. And this is these are the words of what I've heard one person call scary Jesus. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Yeah, scary Jesus. So the root of the matter is that we are talking about really an issue of the heart. And what is that issue of the heart in regards to lust? Well, essentially, looking upon another person as an object instead of as a human being. And that at the very root is the great takeaway that I would like you to have from today's sermon. Lust is essentially looking at another person as an object and not as a person. It looks at a human being not as a person, but as an object. So it's the objectification of a human being. And that's where the real heart matter lies. That's where, in the Russian proverb, the line between good and evil is quaver thin as a feather. So it's a very slight motion to go from one side to the other, but it all starts right here. How do we perceive that person? Now, in the objectification of another, we can see that is the root of what are now multi-billion-dollar industries in our age. In the computer age, something that has advanced the technology of the computer age and the internet age. I spoke to parishioners once who were working for the AOL.com, America Online, and the engineers that were fast at work doing computer programming to facilitate, you know, the amazing conveyance of information. They were motivated in being able to get the first images to be transferred, you know, JPEG file, compression, digitization of a photograph, and then able to compress it into a file that you could send online. They were mostly interested in that for pornography. This is the driver of so much of the advancement of technology in our age, is this other side of the line. of not seeing people as human beings, but seeing them as objects. And some might say, well, you know, what about that? Those images? They're not really that bad, really. No, but they are. Why? Because they train the soul. They are a continuous practice of for the soul to see others not as human beings. And this is so common. I mean, it's we're steeped in it so deeply that it's like the water we swim in. We're swimming in a polluted ocean, and it's just all around, right? It wasn't until the 60s, really, that the advertisers, who have always been shameless, really, but advertised sin, the advertising, it wasn't until the 60s that they really connected with the idea that sex sells, and they began to put, you know, the image of a woman next to the image of the car, and the curves of the woman would kind of match the curves of the car, and there'd be an association of the desire for that with that. And now, is it not ubiquitous? Don't we see it everywhere? I mean, if I forget which Supreme Court justice it was who, when they were talking about the definition of pornography, they couldn't really come up with one, because is it just nudity? Not really. You might have a textbook that shows a nude body. That's not it. So what exactly is it? And what was his answer? I know it when I see it. It's very hard to come up with a definition for it. Some people may be able to look at an image with purity, as God would look at it, and they would see a human being in the picture, and they would see, maybe with compassion, a human being that had been trafficked into that picture, or pressured into that picture, or drugged and then seduced into that lifestyle, that she would have her picture taken that way. They might see with compassion that this is somebody's daughter, that this is a woman who may not be able to pay the bills and is hard pressed. They might be able to see a fellow human being in that picture. For another person, no, it's just another screen to gaze at with the gaze of pornography. You have the pornographic gaze. Now, we are challenged by Jesus to have a transformed heart, where we don't look upon others with that kind of gaze, but instead see them with love. That's a big challenge. It's a big heart change. But it's one that is hard pressed upon us. I mean, this is our challenge, the challenge of sanctification, that we would have the purity of heart to see others as human beings. And that starts here at the altar, that God would cleanse us, purify us, and now we are renewed in our spirits. Now we go forward and see others in a different way. Not according to their various parts, but instead, with loving hearts, see them as a human being. There's a beautiful story that is told of an encounter that took place in the 5th century in Antioch. That's the city where Christians were first called Christians, in Antioch. And there were a group of bishops at the cathedral in the late 400s. And Antioch was an astounding city for learning. It's where St. John Chrysostom was the archbishop. Anyway, the story goes that there were bishops gathered on the steps of the cathedral. And they were, you know, it was a busy city street. And there was a woman that walked by that everybody knew, because she was a famous actress and courtesan. So not only was she an actress and made money that way, but she was also a courtesan. So she would make money that way too. Everybody knew her. She was famous. She was extremely attractive, magnetic, charismatic. Think about the rock stars of our time. That kind of draw, that kind of, you know, that kind of semi-worship in the arena or in the theater. So she comes walking by, and she wasn't wearing much, and she knew how to swing it, you know. And the bishops that were standing there, all but one, when they saw her, they turned away. Why did they turn away? They didn't want to look upon her with lust, so they restrained themselves. They weren't going to feast their eyes on this one because, you know, they're outside the cathedral and they're trained well enough to restrain themselves, so they looked the other way. One of them, Nonus, Bishop Nonus, he beheld her walking by. And she looked at him as he looked at her. And he was looking at her with a gaze that was different than she had ever known. So looking upon her with love. It was so remarkable to her that she came back to talk to him. And later she was catechized and brought into the faith. And she left her acting career behind. Now, she was so wealthy that she had slaves. So she freed her slaves. And then she ended up as a hermit. Her name is Saint Pelagia. Right? She was brought from one who had purity of heart to forsake that life that was gathering riches from the other kind of gaze. And think about this. The one who had been objectified others in slavery. She was a type of slave. Slavery is simply objectifying a human being. It's the same idea. You're seeing them not as a human being, but as an economic unit. Something that can be exchanged. Something, not someone. So what a radical transformation. This bishop, who is so pure that he can look upon her as a human being, she feels that love, understands that love, is converted by that love, and then brings that love to others in the liberation of her slaves and the soul dedication of her life as a hermit to give herself completely and wholly unto God. This is the vision. Let us hear it. Let us wrestle with these things. Let us do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.